The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. In order to stay ahead in business, you need to be on the pulse of the business world, current news, and politics. We'll provide the thought-provoking topics and show you where we have been, what's next, and what it means for you at home. Life's complicated. Let Andy help you figure it out. Now, here is your host, Andy Bush.
Welcome to Engage with Andy Bush. I'm your host, and my blog and research can be found at andrewbush.com. Now, in this segment, we'll discuss taxes, spending, and the coming fiscal fight in Washington. Joining us to discuss this and more is Potomac Research's chief political strategist, Greg Valliere. Now, Mr. Valliere is a returning guest and joins us from D.C. Greg, welcome back.
Great to be with you.
All right. The president released his budget this week, and with his spending and tax priorities, it's, you know, a food fight in Washington, D.C. He's called for a loosening of the budget sequester to increase discretionary spending and defense spending. Do you think this has any traction in Congress?
Well, a little. The conventional wisdom, of course, Andy, is that all this stuff is dead on arrival. But
right,
there are some areas of agreement. I think both parties would like to lift the very rigid caps on the Pentagon. I think it's a nasty world out there, and both parties would like to increase defense spending.
Right.
Where you're going to have the big fight, of course, as usual, is domestic spending. The president wants to increase it by quite a bit, but there still are the so-called sequester caps that the Republicans want to keep. And for all the president's saying, you know, we're getting past the deficit era, we need to have more spending, most of the Republicans who are going to call the shots would like even more spending cuts on domestic programs. So that's going to be a big fight.
Right, and you've got two guys taking over, or one at least in the Senate, a new guy taking over the chairmanship of the Budget Committee. I think we're talking about, was it Tom Price in the House and
Mike Enzi
in the Senate, right? So they're going to be pretty tough on the president. It seems like this is a really odd time for him to be declaring victory on the deficit and start the spending machine again.
Yeah, the deficit is going to be a mere $460 billion this year. So I
a
guess
mere pittance by Washington standards.
I'd like to have a fraction of that. But, you know, I think that the Republicans are determined to kill a sequester on defense. So that's where you're going to have the negotiations. This fight will drag on into the fall. I think it won't be resolved until we have this titanic battle, Andy, over the debt ceiling. It has to be raised. Treasury can play tricks and maybe can get us into the fall. But at that point, we've got to raise the debt ceiling. We've got to get a budget. That's where things are going to get really interesting.
Well, one of the things that was that was fascinating to me was the fact that Senate has returned to what we call normal order. And with that, and this is what we saw in Keystone, with the votes that were lining up and everything that was going along those lines, it allowed you the opportunity to see where interest was on different amendments that were put on the Keystone Pipeline. And I got to go through everything that was put on there. But to me, it seems like that's a great way to build momentum to get some of these things done, because you can figure out where different people are and how to build coalitions.
And, you know, speaking of coalitions, Andy, I do think there's a chance for a trade bill, giving the president authority.
Right.
I think we could get a Pacific Trade Initiative. I think there's chances they can come to an agreement on infrastructure spending. And I do think that both parties, at least in concept, want to talk about corporate tax reform. The details are really tough. But I think there are some areas of agreement. But at the same time, let's be really candid here. I think Harry Reid and most of the Democrats have one major goal, and that is to allow Hillary to run against a dysfunctional, do-nothing Congress. And I think they're not very interested in compromise.
No, and one of the things that's going to be fascinating too, Greg, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on the fight that's coming on Homeland Security, because it to me, it's only funded to the end of February. It's a way for the Republicans to express their ire at the president's immigration policies. But in light of what's been going on with ISIS and certainly the recruitment of females and suicide bombers and fighters, it seems just the Republicans are one bad event away from really looking like they've been so parochial in their interest for the nation.
Well, I said the last time we talked, and I would reiterate, I think the Republicans may have overpromised during the holidays, especially to their base. I mean, they can't kill Obamacare. They're not going to undo Dodd-Frank. They're not going to get a tough Iranian sanctions bill. And I think they have overpromised on this Homeland Security bill. They can't be portrayed as cutting off funding for Homeland Security when you see these horrific, gruesome atrocities by ISIS and these Islamic fanatics. So I think that they're going to have to back down. They'll have to abandon their effort to undo the Obama executive order on immigration. That capitulation may not come until just before the 27th of February, when the deadline approaches on funding for Homeland Security.
Well, speaking of funding, I mean, the president released his budget as we were talking earlier, and he's got about 10 tax proposals in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it would be fun if we ran them down and you give me your thoughts on whether or not they're going to get done.
Sure.
So I want to start with the one that I love the most. Warren Buffett says, tax me, which is the Warren Buffett minimum tax of 30% on millionaires. What do you think? That's in the president's budget. It raises money, but what do you think on that one?
Not going to happen.
I think we're going to have a trend here really quickly.
Yep.
Limiting the itemized deductions for the wealthy.
Absolutely not going to happen.
Yeah, that raises about $640 billion. The first one on the Buffett tax would raise about $35 billion.
Mm-hmm.
How about raising the capital gains tax to 28%?
No way.
This, again, would raise about $208 billion over 10 years. Expand middle and income low income tax credits.
That has some support. Even Paul Ryan, I think, likes the earned income tax credit. You could see that expanded.
Yeah, that's interesting. That would cost $277 mm-hmm. billion. How about getting rid of the Romney loophole on IRAs, meaning that you can't have I think Mitt Romney had $21 million in an IRA when he was working at Bain Capital. They want to get rid of that and limit it to just $3.4 million.
That's almost as much as you have in yours. I know that's $21 million. No, I don't think that's going to happen. It might at some point. I think the Democrats like that idea, but it certainly is not going to get through this very conservative House.
Yeah, no doubt. And that one would raise $26 billion.
Mm-hmm.
How about the 14% one time only, folks? This is it. We're only going to do it once. 14% tax on multinational earnings overseas.
Well, the idea of bringing back these earnings called repatriation does have quite a bit of support, but not at 14%. I mean, the White House just threw that out as a negotiating tactic. You know, if we start talking about 3 or 4 or 5%, then things get interesting, but a 14% repatriation tax will never fly.
Well, don't you think that's a little confiscatory? I mean, it seems to me that's just like, you know, a local government land grab. I mean, these are earnings that have been built up over long periods of time, according to legally the tax code. I mean, wouldn't that smell like big government?
Yeah, it would, and especially if a lot of that money, a lot of the revenue is used for infrastructure spending, people would say, tax increase to pay for more spending. That goes against the Republican mantra. So no, 14% out of the question. 3, 4, 5%, maybe we're talking something.
Okay, so that's $268 billion, ladies
mm-hmm.
and gentlemen. The next one, again, on multinationals is that going forward, they would reduce the rate from 35 to 19%. And would raise about $206 billion. What do you think about that 19%?
Yeah, again, way too high. That's never going to fly. But I think on this, you know, the White House decided, let's throw out a number, let's start negotiating. So, you know, maybe at some point we'll get serious, but that 19% is not a serious number.
Yeah, it's the spaghetti on the wall trick.
Yep.
How about the 7 basis point tax on banks? Now, this would raise about $112 billion and was in Dave Camp's, former Ways and Means Chairman, big tax reform proposal that he rolled out last year. What do you think about that?
Well, Dave Camp shocked his fellow Republicans by proposing this, and it went nowhere, and I think it will go nowhere. I just don't see that. I also don't see a Democrat's idea that you may have on your list, Andy, to have a transaction tax on Wall Street. I mean, I understand banks and Wall Street are not popular, but you're not going to get a big tax hike on Wall Street. It's just not going to happen.
Really, a transaction tax? Like, it works so well for Europe, right? I mean,
you know, you put a transaction tax on, and, you know, trades will be done in Singapore. I mean, people will go offshore.
Well, and the thing is with banks, not to digress too far, but you toss this on there, and it doesn't end up on their – it doesn't come out of their earnings, ladies and gentlemen. It comes out of your pocket, because they're going to pass that right along to the consumer, whether it's higher mortgage rates or whatever. I mean, it's just – it's mind-boggling with these corporate taxes that people just don't understand, that they get passed right down to the clients and the customers. So it's crazy. All right, how about this? A tobacco tax hike, they're going to double this. It would raise about $95 billion.
Well, the leading Republican in the House is a famous smoker, if I'm not mistaken, you know, John Boehner. So I think taxing wine or cigarettes would go right to Boehner's sweet spot. So no, I don't think that's going to happen. Now, at the state level, yeah, I mean, you could see gasoline tax hikes. Some states have already done that. You could see tobacco, wine, whatever. In Kansas, Brownback is talking about that. In Michigan, Snyder is talking about it. But at the federal level, no, I don't see it.
All right, and the last one is ending the pass-through profits on these pass-through entities to have profits versus salary to avoid payroll and Social Security taxes. This is known as the Gingrich-Edwards loophole for those famous guys who used it and abused it. That would raise about $74 billion. What do you think about that one, Greg?
I mean, there could be something on that. Everybody looks every year or two at carried interest. Everyone looks at the step-up basis. But I frankly, Andy, I don't see any tax increase making it through the House. I think that Ryan, who obviously is going to run for president someday, does not want to be identified with a tax hike. Now, in 2017, if we have Hillary or Jeb and they want to talk about a grand compromise on the deficit, maybe some of these ideas you've listed would be back on the table. That's 2 years away. I think for the next 2 years, there will not be any tax increases.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Potomac Research's Greg Valliere, always a treat to have you on the show, and look forward to being on with you on Fox this week.
Me too. Should be a lot of fun. Great to talk to you, Andy.
All right, let's take a quick break, grab a cup of coffee and a donut. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Great leaders today have certain capabilities that set them apart. These leaders have discovered transformational leadership. Now, you can discover the same ideas, insights, and programs that have led them to success. Inside Transformational Leadership, hosted by Kate Ebner, is produced by Georgetown University's Institute for Transformational Leadership. We'll explore these stories and concepts every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.